Allah. Inshallah, we're about to start the lectures of the second day of our convention. And today we have a Sheikh Muhammad Hassan from Egypt. And after that, we're going to have a Sheikh Saleh Hassadlan. And then we're going to have an open forum where the two Shuyukh with the Sheikh Saad al-Burayk will be having an open forum to take question and answer. So we would like the brother, inshallah, to be as quiet as possible and to sit and enjoy the knowledge that we're going to have. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة، فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فاللهم اجزه عنا خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته، وصل اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأحبابه وأتباعه وعلى كل من اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته وقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا أيها الإخوة الفضلاء، وطبتم وطاب ممشاكم وتبوأتم جميعا من الجنة منزلا. وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يثبتنا وإياكم على الإيمان حتى نلقاه، وأن يجمعنا مع سيد النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنات ونهر، في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. أيها الأحبة، أولادنا بين البر والعقوق، هذا هو عنوان محاضرتنا المختصرة مع حضراتكم في هذا اللقاء الطيب. وكعادتي، حتى لا ينسحب بساط الوقت سريعا من تحت أقدامنا، فسوف أركز الحديث مع حضراتكم في هذا الموضوع المهم في العناصر التالية: أولا، خطر العقوق، ثانيا، فضل البر، ثالثا، حقوق تقابلها واجبات، رابعا، إنها مسؤولية الجميع. فأعيرون القلوب والأسماع جيدا، والله أسأل أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his companions and wives and those who follow the path of them until the Day of Judgment. He says, I greet all of you, my honored brothers and sisters, today in this blessed place. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us here, to gather us all once again in the Jannah, so that we may be seated in a place of honor near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the gardens of paradise. Our topic with you today is titled, Our Children Between Obedience and Disobedience. And as our beloved Sheikh has become accustomed to, he will focus on four main points with us. Awalan, first, the danger of being disobedient to your parents. Second, the blessing of treating your parents with honor in righteousness. Third, the requirements that must be fulfilled. Fourth, everyone is held accountable and is responsible. So these are the points that the Sheikh, inshallah, will begin to discuss with us one by one in understanding the topic our children between obedience and disobedience.
أولاً خطر العقوق. أيها الأحبة، إن الوالدين يندفعان بالفطرة نحو حب ورعاية الأولاد، بل ويضحون في سبيل سعادة الأولاد بكل شيء حتى بالذات. فكما تمتص النبتة الخضراء كل غذاء في الحبة فإذا هي فتات، وكما يمتص الفرخ الصغير كل غذاء في البيضة فإذا هي قشرة هشة، فكذلك يمتص الأولاد كل رحيق وجهد وعافية في الوالدين فإذا هما شيخوخة فانية وهما مع كل ذلك سعيدان.
The Sheikh continues by saying, first, the danger of being disobedient to your parents or to the parents. It's important to point out that the parents, due to their natural inclination, their fitrah, have inside them the wish to sacrifice all for the betterment of their children. They would give even their life, their own bodies, for their children if it was needed. And as you notice, the green plant, it does not become green until it sucks all of the minerals that is around it, uses up all of the resources around it. Same with a chick in an egg. It eats all of the yolk and consumes all of the nutrients in the egg, in the shell, until when it comes out, nothing is left in the eggshell except what was used up by the chick. And such are children, using all of the resources of their parents, causing them to grow up to be older in age while taking from them and seldom giving them back. So therefore, it is required that you have to give something back to your parents, which will be the point of discussion.
ومع ذلك فإن كثيرا من الأولاد ينسى هذا الحب والعطاء والحنان ويندفع في جحود ونكران وعصيان ليسيء إلى الوالدين بلا أدنى شفقة أو رحمة أو إحسان. فها هو والد مجروح يعيش معكم هنا، يقص علي قصة مؤلمة، يقول بأنه دخل بيته يوما فرأى ابنته في حالة زنا، فلما فتح الباب ورأى ابنته في هذا الموضع الفاضح وقف مذهولا مبهوتا. وكانت الصدمة الأخرى أن نادت عليه ابنته في فراش الزنا لتقول له: ألا تستأذن يا حمار؟
The Sheikh says, with what you have heard, you will still see many children who forget their duty to their parents and what they should fulfill. Forget all of the love and the mercy that their parents have bestowed upon them in their young age, in their tender young years. And then when they grow up and attain some of their own strength, they begin to deny these favors. And the Sheikh says, let me give you an example from a family living in your own country. A father enters into his own home and enters into his daughter's room to find her in the act of fornication. And upon entering the room and seeing her in such a state, he became dumbfounded and shocked. And she yelled out to him, "Do you not knock first before you enter the room?" As if she is teaching him the manners.
وهذا شاب آخر يعيش في أسرة فقيرة
لكن الوالد استطاع أن يبذل في سبيل سعادة هذه الأسرة كل ما يملك، فدخل كل أبنائه إلى الجامعات والكليات، ومن بين هؤلاء ابن عاق ألح على والده في النفقات لينفقها على المخدرات والفتيات، فلما رفض والده وعنفه ما كان من هذا الشاب الذي استغل دراسته في كلية العلوم إلا أن يأخذ معه إلى البيت سائلا كيميائيا، وانتظر حتى نام والده في الفراش فسكب السائل كله على والده فأذاب جلد لحمه حتى بدت العظام.
Another example is of another youth who lived in a poor income family. His family did not have a lot of wealth, yet his father would spend everything that he earned and give it to his children so that they may get a better education. All of his children went to higher colleges, universities. But there was one of his children who was studying general sciences and chemistry, who would keep taking most of the money from his father. And he would spend it on drugs and women. And when his father then refused to give him from his hard-earned money, he came home one night while his father was sleeping and took some of the chemicals that he uses at the university and poured it on his father until all of the flesh and skin disintegrated away and all that was left was bone.
والأمثلة على العقوق الأسود كثيرة وخطيرة، مع أن الله عز وجل قد حذر من العقوق في أدنى صوره وأقل معانيه، فقال جل وعلا: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وقال جل وعلا: ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما: ثلاث آيات نزلت مقرونة بثلاث آيات، ثلاث آيات نزلت مقرونة بثلاث آيات لا تقبل واحدة بدون الأخرى. الأولى قول الله جل وعلا: من يطع الرسول يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. فمن أطاع الله ولم يطع الرسول لم يقبل منه. والثانية هي قول الله تعالى وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة، فمن أقام الصلاة وضيع الزكاة لم يقبل منه. والثالثة هي قوله تعالى أن اشكر لي ولوالديك، فمن شكر لله ولم يشكر لوالديه لم يقبل منه.
Many examples of this type of disobedience and arrogance against the parents can be found, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in the Blessed Quran, orders you to be good to your parents and not fall into sin even in this minor form. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, and your Lord has proclaimed that you are to worship none other than Him, and to be good and dutiful to your parents. And if any of them, one or both of your parents, are in an advanced state of age, do not even say to them, uff, a sound, not even a word, that is found in any culture on the earth. Do not even say, uff, to them. And do not chastise them. وَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا And say to them an easy, blessed, merciful word. And bend to them your shoulder and the side of mercy. This is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even to say this word, uff. Allah also says, and we have advised mankind, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا We have given a legacy and an advice to mankind that they should be good in treatment of their parents. The mother carries the child in pain after pain for 2 full years, breastfeeding him and taking care of him and nurturing him in his youngest of years. And then Allah says, and we order the mankind to thank me and their parents, to be thankful to Allah and also to be thankful for your parents. And if any of your parents who are still in disbelief fight against you to cause you to return to disbelief, do not accept from them disbelief in a way that you would not know. Do not accept this disbelief and fall into their words, but yet be good and kind and merciful to them, and speak to them a humble word. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ And follow the path of those who submit themselves to me. These are the orders of Allah. Ibn Abbas, the great Sahabi, the one who has given a great understanding to us of the Quran, he says, ثلاث آيات, 3 verses are always joined together. 3 things are always linked together. One of them is not accepted but without the other. The first is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey Allah and His Messenger. So if you obey Allah and not His Messenger, you have not obeyed Allah. And Allah says, the second type of verse, and establish prayer and give the zakah. If you pray and do not give zakah, neither is accepted. And also Allah says, and thank Allah and thank your parents. If you do not thank your parents, you have not thanked Allah.
وتأتي السنة المطهرة على صاحبها صاحبها أفضل الصلاة وأزكى السلام لتبين خطر العقوق. ففي الصحيحين من حديث أبي بكر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر؟ قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. قال الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين. وكان النبي متكئا فجلس ثم قال ألا وقول الزور، ألا وشهادة الزور، ألا وقول الزور، ألا وشهادة الزور. وظل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكررها حتى قلنا ليته سكت. وفي صحيح البخاري ومسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من الكبائر شتم الرجل والديه، من الكبائر شتم الرجل والديه. قالوا: يا رسول الله، وهل يشتم الرجل والديه؟ أمر لا يتصوره الصحابة، وهل يشتم الرجل والديه؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم، يسب الرجل أبا الرجل فيسب أباه، ويسب أمه فيسب أمه.
And we also see this in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it is shown to us the danger of being dishonoring to the parents, as is narrated in both Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, that he said that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions one day, and then he said to them, should I not tell you of the greatest of the great sins, the biggest of the biggest sins? So they said, warn us, O Messenger of Allah. He told them, al-ishraku billah, to take partners with Allah in worship. And second, he said, to be dishonoring to one's parents. And he was sitting or lying down with the Sahaba, and he stood up as if to give them a dramatic effect. And then he said, for the third, to say a statement of falsehood or to bear false testimony. To say a statement of falsehood or to bear false testimony. And he kept on repeating it until the Sahaba said to themselves, we wish that he would remain silent. He has emphasized it so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in the authentic hadith, which is agreed upon in both Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the most of major sins is that a person curses his father. So the Sahaba, confused, they said, how can a person curse his father? Something they could not imagine. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it by saying, it is that a person curses the father of another person. So then the other person curses his father. This is to the extent of how careful you should be in being dutiful to your parents, not to dishonor another person's family, so that your family and your parents are not dishonored.
والعقوق أيها الإخوة الكرام سبب من أخطر الأسباب للطرد من رحمة الله عز وجل الذي وسعت رحمته كل شيء، وسبب من أخطر الأسباب للحرمان من الجنة. ففي الحديث الذي رواه النسائي والبزار بسند جيد والحاكم في المستدرك وحسنه الألباني في صحيح الجامع، أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ثلاثة لا ينظر الله عز وجل إليهم يوم القيامة، خابوا ورب الكعبة وخسروا. من هم؟ ثلاثة لا ينظر الله عز وجل إليهم يوم القيامة: العاق لوالديه، والمرأة المترجلة، والديوث. العاق لوالديه والمرأة المترجلة، أي التي تتشبه بالرجال، والديوث، وهو الذي لا يغار على أهله ويقر الفحش والخبث في أهله. وثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة: العاق لوالديه، ومدمن الخمر والمنان.
Dishonoring the parents is also one of the major reasons that many people are not given the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it may be a reason for them to be left behind from entering paradise. For as is narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i and Imam al-Bazzar, who said that the hadith is jayyid or good, and it's also narrated by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and it's deemed to be a Hasan hadith by Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, hafidhahullah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three types of people Allah will not look to them on the day of judgment, will not acknowledge them. And then he said, the one who dishonors his parents and is disobedient. And second, the woman who acts like a man. And third, the man who does not become jealous over his own family and allows them to commit sins without feeling two ways about it. And also in a different narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who dishonors and is disobedient to his parents, and the person who is an alcoholic, مُطْمِنُ الْخَمْرِ, and the one who practices namima, means transmits words from one group of people to another. The one who gives to people and then takes it from them or speaks to them that I have given you this as a way of lowering them in front of the sight of other people.
ومن أخطر ثمار العقوق المرة أن الله عز وجل يعجل عقوبة العاق في الدنيا قبل الآخرة. فالعقوق دين لابد من قضائه هنا قبل الآخرة. ففي الحديث الذي رواه الطبراني والبخاري في التاريخ الكبير بسند صححه الألباني أن الحبيب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اثنان يعجلهما الله في الدنيا، البغي يعني الظلم وعقوق الوالدين. اثنان يعجلهما الله في الدنيا، البغي وعقوق الوالدين. فالعقوق دين أيها المسلمون. إن بر الإنسان والديه بره أبناؤه، وإن عق المسلم والديه قيض الله عز وجل له من أبنائه من يذيقه مرارة العقوق. فهذا ابن يصفع أباه على وجهه، فجلس الوالد وانخرط في البكاء. فلما علم الناس أن هذا الولد صفع أباه، أراد الناس أن يضربوا هذا الشاب وأن يفتكوا به، فقال هذا الوالد: دعوه، اتركوه، لا تضربوه، فوالله منذ 20 سنة وفي هذا المكان صفعت أبي على وجهه، فهذا دين أقضي. فالعقوق دين لا بد من قضائه في الدنيا قبل الآخرة.
And from the evil fruits or the harvest that a person will receive for being dishonoring to his parents is that he will be punished by Allah in the dunya even before his death and before he reaches al-akhirah. For being dishonoring to one's parents is a dain, it is a debt that must be paid before you leave this dunya. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in the authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Tabrani and then Imam al-Bukhari, not in his Sahih but in his history, in his tariq, and narrated by Shaykh al-Albani, who deemed the hadith to be Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the person for in the dunya before the hereafter: oppression and dishonoring of the parents and disobedience to them. And therefore the Shaykh points out to us the story of a young person who slapped his father on his face. And his father began to cry uncontrollably. And when the people around them saw what had happened, they came to grab this child, to take him to account. How could you do this? But the father told them, leave him alone. For exactly 20 years ago, in the same area, I slapped my own father. And this is the debt that I am paying today.
فما أشقاها يا إخوة من حياة ألا وهي حياة العقوق، وما أسعدها وأطيبها والله من حياة ألا وهي حياة البر. وهذا هو عنصرنا الثاني من عناصر المحاضرة، فضل البر. وكفى البر فضلا وشرفا أن الله تعالى قد قرنه بتوحيده فجعله في المرتبة التالية بعد التوحيد، بعد إفراده بالعبادة وحده بلا منازع أو شريك. فقال تعالى: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. فقرن البر بالتوحيد، بإفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة. وفي الصحيحين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل: أي العمل أحب إلى الله تعالى؟ قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الصلاة لوقتها. قيل: ثم أي؟ قال: بر الوالدين. قيل: ثم أي؟ قال: الجهاد في سبيل الله. فقدم النبي بر الوالدين على الجهاد في سبيل الله. انظروا إلى فضل البر. بل وفي الصحيحين أيضا من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو: جاء رجل إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ليستأذنه في الجهاد، فقال له النبي: أحي والداك؟ قال: نعم يا رسول الله. قال المصطفى: ففيهما فجاهد.
In seeing the evil of this life of the person who dishonors his parents, we can also see the honor and the blessedness of the life of giving honor and respect to the parents. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown this in many places of the Quran, especially when we see and notice that Allah joins at-tawheed, singling out only Allah in worship, which is the foundation of our religion, joins it and links it with being good to the parents. As we have recited to you before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord has proclaimed, do not take in partners in worship with him and be good to your parents. Also we see in the authentic hadith that is agreed upon, muttafaqun alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was asked, what is the most blessed action that a person can perform? What is the best amal that a person can do? He said, as-salah at its prescribed time. And then he said, being righteous and dutiful to your parents. And then he said, jihad, striving and struggling and fighting in the path of Allah. And we notice here that the Prophet ﷺ put being good to the parents before turning and struggling in the path of Allah. And this is even more emphasized in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, which is also agreed upon, muttafaqun alayhi, that the Prophet ﷺ was asked by a man to allow him to go fight jihad. So the Prophet asked him, are any of your parents still living? He told him, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He told him, go to your parents and in them do your jihad. In them do your struggle and strive in the path of Allah. The Sheikh is asking you, have you fallen asleep or are you still awake? You're still awake? You're enjoying it? Alhamdulillah. So he should continue? Or should we close the books and leave? Okay.
والبر أيها الأحبة من أعظم أسباب الرزق وتفريج الهم والغم وبركة العمر. سبب من أعظم أسباب الرزق وتفريج الهم والغم وتفريج الكرب وبركة العمر. وسأكتفي بذكر دليل واحد فقط في الحديث المشهور الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما الذي يبين فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قصة الثلاثة الذين نزلت صخرة فسدت عليهم باب الغار الذي دخلوه فقالوا إنه لا ينجيكم من هذه الصخرة إلا أن تسألوا الله بصالح أعمالكم. فالتوسل إلى الله يا إخوة بصالح العمل توسل مشروع. فقال أحدهم وهذا محل الشاهد: اللهم إنه كان لي أبوان شيخان كبيران وكنت لا أغبق قبلهما أهلا ولا مالا، يعني لا أقدم عليهما على والدي في الطعام والشراب أهلي ولا مالي، يعني ولا خدمي ورقيقي، لا أقدم عليهم الأولاد والزوجة والخدم، بل أقدم الطعام والشراب ابتداء لوالدي. يقول: وقد نأى بي طلب الشجر يوما. كان الرجل يعمل حطابا يجمع الحطب والشجر من الصحراء، فانطلق يوما فتأخر. يقول: فعدت إليهما، أي إلى والديه، فوجدتهما نائمين فاستحييت أن أوقظهما. الله أكبر. فاستحييت أن أوقظهما وكرهت أن أقدم عليهما أهلي أو مالي، فوقفت وقدح اللبن على يدي حتى برق الفجر والصبية بين قدمي يتضاغون، يعني يصرخون ويبكون من شدة الجوع، ولكنه يرفض أن يقدم الطعام والشراب لأولاده إلا بعد أن يقدم الطعام والشراب لوالديه. ثم قال: اللهم إن كنت فعلت ذلك ابتغاء وجهك ففرج عنا ما نحن فيه، فانفرجت الصخرة، إلى آخر الحديث المشهور. فالبر سبب من أسباب الرزق وتفريج الهم والغم وبركة العمر. أسأل الله أن يرزقني وإياكم البر.
Bir and righteousness, or righteousness, is a great action to gain an excess of rizq, of sustenance and wealth from Allah, and to prolong and to have a longer life, and to remove pain and hardship that one is befalled in or has befallen him. And the Sheikh says, due to the many ahadith and many proofs, I will only give you one due to the shortness of time. In the hadith which is muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon from the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, that the Prophet ﷺ narrated to Sahaba the story of the three men who were trapped in a cave. One day it was raining, they walked into a cave to escape the rain, and a boulder fell and blocked the entrance so that they could not leave. So they turned to each other and they said, the only thing that will be able to save us today and at this time is for each of us to turn to Allah in dua with the best action that we have performed. And this, the Shaykh points out, is a tawassul, it's a way of making tawassul, seeking help from Allah by mentioning a blessed action. This is something that is permitted for you to do. So one of them out of the three, and the hadith is long, we are only mentioning the story of one of them. He said, "O Allah, I have two parents who were old in age, that I would not give food or drink to any of my family before I fed and gave them drink. And one day," and this man used to work as a person who gathered wood, "so one day he was delayed until late at night. Upon returning to his home, he found that his two elder parents are sleeping. So he said to himself, 'I feel embarrassed to wake them up to feed them. And yet I even feel worse if I gave food and drink to my own children and wife before them.' So he waited, holding the food and the drink, until Fajr broke, while the children were around him asking for food and crying to him. And he said, 'O Allah, if I did this action for your face, liwajhik, and seeking in your pleasure, O Allah, remove this boulder.' And it was removed. And each of the other two also mentioned some of the blessed actions that they have done for the sole purpose of worshipping Allah, and they were saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَكَمَا أَنَّا للوالدين حقوقا على الأولاد فإن للأولاد حقوقا على الوالدين، وهذا هو عنصرنا الثالث، حقوق تقابلها واجبات. فإن كثيرا من الآباء والأمهات قد ضيعوا المسؤولية التي حملهم إياها رب العزة جل وعلا والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانشغل كثير من الآباء عن الأبناء والأولاد، وانشغل كثير من الأمهات عن الأولاد، وظن الوالد أن وظيفته في البيت هي أن يكون ممثلا لوزارة المالية، يطعم وفقط. قد يسعد الوالد بأن يدخل إلى أولاده بألوان شتى من الفواكه، يحمل البطيخ والعنب والمنجو والخوخ إلى آخره ليطعم الأولاد، لكن هل فكر الوالد مرة وهو يقطع البطيخة بين يدي أبنائه ليقول لهم: يا أولادي انظروا انظروا واسألوا أنفسكم من الذي خلق هذه البطيخة بهذا الجمال والجلال والإبداع، ليربط قلوبهم بالمنعم سبحانه وتعالى، وليعلمهم أن خالق هذه الثمار هو الله، نبتت كلها في أرض واحدة وسقيت كلها بماء واحد، ومع ذلك خرجت هذه الثمار شتى، تختلف ألوانها وأشكالها ويختلف طعمها، ليعلم الوالد ولده أن الله عز وجل على كل شيء قدير، وأنه وحده هو الذي يستحق أن يعبد وأن يشكر.
Our third point in discussing with you the topic of honoring the parents is also that the parents must realize and recognize that they must give their children certain rights, and they must perform certain duties, so that when their children are with them, they will in turn give them their own honor and be respectful to them. The Sheikh points to us the fact that many of the parents today have forgotten the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon them in raising their children. For example, a father may think that his only responsibility or that his sole role in the family structure is to be the treasurer, the one who brings the money, who buys the food for the family. And he will think that it's something good to only enter upon his children, caring to them all the different types of food, the different types of fruits, watermelon, mango, as you heard the Sheikh speaking. And not once when he is cutting the watermelon, he thinks to speak to his children and to say to them, think of the one who has created this for you and I, who has allowed this fruit to come from the same ground that all the other fruits come from, that is watered with the same water that all of the other fruits come from, yet it is of a different taste, different color, different type. Showing them the relationship between their rizq, sustenance, and their creator. Establishing this link of tawheed in recognizing that it is all from Allah. And therefore the one who has bestowed this to you is the only one who is deserving to be worshipped and honored, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فتربية الأولاد مسؤولية كبيرة سيسأل عنها الوالدان بين يدي الله عز وجل. قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. فأنت مسؤول عن هذه الذرية، مسؤول عن هؤلاء الأولاد، وكذلك الأم مسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها، والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته، وكلكم راع ومسؤول عن رعيته. مسؤولية، وستسأل عنها بين يدي الله عز وجل، وحملك إياها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regards to the parents that they shall be held accountable to the actions that their children do. He says as an admonition, as a warning, O ye who believe, protect yourselves and your families from the fire. A fire whose fuel or its kindling or its fuel shall be mankind and rocks. Its keepers are angels who are strong and mighty. لا يعصون الله. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what He orders them. And they do that which they are ordered. This is what will be facing those who neglect their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in teaching their children, in protecting them, in showing them the Islamic etiquettes and manners. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that is agreed upon, all of you, everyone, has requirements and duties that he must perform, that he will be asked about, and he will be asked about his duties and requirements. And the Imam has duties and requirements that he must perform. And the father has duties and requirements that he must perform. And the mother has duties and requirements that she must perform. Looking after the children. The father looking out for the family. The imam looking out for the community. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ. All of you have certain duties and requirements. And all of you will be asked about your duties and your requirements.
لَكِنَّنَا بِكُلِّ أَسَفْ نرى كثيرا من الآباء
إذا رأى الوالد ولده ذكيا المعيا يقول الوالد هذا الولد طبيب، يخرج طبيب. وإذا كان الولد يكسر لعبه ثم يصلحها فيقول الوالد هذا الولد يخرج مهندس. إنما إن خرج الولد أعمى أو أعرج يقول الوالد أهو شيخ وخلاص. أصبح كثير من الآباء لا يهتم أحدهم بأن يخرج ولده ليعمل لدين الله عز وجل، لا سيما في هذه البيئة. ينبغي أن تختار أنبغ أولادك وأذكى أولادك لتربيه على القرآن والسنة، ولتقول لربك جل وعلا يا ربي إني قد نذرت لك هذا الولد فتقبله مني، ليتحرك في هذه البيئة المقترة للدعوة إلى دين الله وإلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ليكون هذا الولد في ميزانك يوم القيامة، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
In all embarrassment, the chef says, today you may see a father who will look to his young children, and you will see a child who may seem very intelligent, learns how to read at a young age, and he will say to his wife or to himself, I'm going to make sure that he turns out to be a doctor. And then he'll look to another one of his children who takes apart his toys and puts them back together. And he shall say that I am going to make sure that this child is going to be an engineer. And then you will see a father who will look to one of his children who may be blind, and he will say, oh, he doesn't have a lot of potential, we'll just make him a sheikh, someone who will go and learn something about the religion. As if that this is a low position or something that is not important. But the Sheikh points out to us that we should be choosing from our best and our brightest, who go to learn and understand about Allah and His Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that they can carry it to us and benefit those who are in and around them with the preferred knowledge. For this is something that is a duty for us to choose the best of our children to fulfill this honored role and position.
أظن أن الوقت المخصص لهذه المحاضرة قد انتهى، فسنكتفي بهذا القدر، وأرجو الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا بكم دائما على الخير والبر والطاعة، لنبدأ الندوة مع شيوخنا الكرام. وجزاكم الله خيرا، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
Noticing that some of our beloved shuyukh have arrived, the Sheikh says we will forego the final point, which we will discuss with you in the nadwa in the next lecture inshallah, when all of them will be in a panel discussion with us. And the Sheikh concluded by saying subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And now we have an announcement from our brother Hisham inshallah.